No other state had anything like this access to power. Ronald Reagan had been the last of the Californians. National GOP politics had a new regional ladder, and government policymaking a new bias. By the turn of the century, in addition to becoming the second most populous state, Texas had also transformed itself into the most Republican of the top 10. A bulwark of party and ideological strength in Congress, as well as a major launching pad for capturing the White House. Texas Republicans and their compatriots in Alabama or Indiana increasingly spoke the same language. Quite literally, the lexicon of national politics had acquired an essential new prefix, petro. Let's plot the path that took winners to the White House. Until mid-century, petroleum-related entries were rare on a presidential resume. One exception, James Garfield, had been an early northeastern Ohio oil investor before his election in 1880. The president chosen in 1928, Herbert Hoover of Iowa, was an industry intimate, a mining engineer who, in his earlier days, had undertaken oil surveys and even brokered a few South American properties to Standard Oil. A scholar to boot, he had translated into English the 1556 German language masterwork in which the term petroleum first appeared in print. However little he understood the Great Depression, Hoover knew oil. But as we have seen, it took the deepening of the oil connection under Eisenhower, Johnson, Nixon, and Reagan to set the scene for petro prefixes and Texification. In naming George H.W. Bush as his running mate in 1980, Reagan loosely followed Nixon's outline, enlisting not just a Texan, but the first full-fledged oil man to make a national ticket. 8 years later, when Bush became the first former oil executive to reach the White House, both major party tickets included an oil-savvy Texan. The Democratic vice presidential nominee, Senator Lloyd Benson, was an insurance company president with past petroleum corporate directorships. The press routinely characterized him as close to the oil industry. Through these years, oil's potent influence in U.S. politics was inadequately expressed by raw dollar tabulations. The $159 million the oil and gas industry gave to American politicians between 1990 and 2002, or the $256 million contributed by the transportation sector. What counted at least as much was the dearth of countervailing money or power. Thus, in one Washington showdown after another, oil could keep its tax breaks, coal-fired power plants could be exempted from clean air legislation, the auto industry could stave off tougher fuel efficiency standards, and oil and gas could beat back target dates for putting renewables like solar, wind, and water power into the U.S. energy mix. The influence built up over many decades can fairly be described as normally unbeatable. A first-class political, lobbying, and regulatory infrastructure. In fairness to U.S. industry, though, the political clout and periodic scandals of oil and gas are hardly limited to the United States. British Petroleum, for example, was linked to bribery in Azerbaijan and Kazakhstan in 2001 and 2002. And the Financial Times commented that while the days of government ownership have long passed, BP's ties with the British government are still so close that rivals call it Blair Petroleum. One Whitehall insider says there is a meeting of the minds between Tony Blair and Brown, Lord Brown, the BP chairman, who was a regular visitor to Downing Street. This rapport is reinforced by the presence on Brown's staff of former New Labour officials still close to number 10. Sarcastic references to Blair Petroleum, by no means a one-time barb, also appeared in The Guardian and The Scotsman, as well as in Germany's Der Spiegel and Russia's Pravda.